put a rubber stamp full of commission together that will simply help cover up and hide whatever Polson is doing on the inside, and we'll have no oversight. You know, Joseph Gallagher of McClatchy addressed the core issue of trust. He said the government could no longer be trusted to ever tell the truth. Now they're at it again. The Bush administration is telling Congress and the president himself on television, telling the American people, trust us. Trust us with a check on the national treasury for $700 billion, and that's just for starters. We don't need no stinking oversight, he says. Trust Secretary of the Treasury Polson, a Wall Street critter whose last civilian paycheck was for $38 million for 1 year's work to make sure that the money is wisely and conservatively spent. Trust a man on Wall Street to bail us out of the financial disaster visited upon us by Wall Street. Trust the people who've run the national debt from $3 trillion to well over $10 trillion in just under 8 years to ensure that no one takes fair advantage of this Wall Street rescue plan. That was slapped together in another back room in a long weekend of camaraderie among the robber barons. Trust us, they say, and pass on this rescue bill. No need to read it. No need for any one thing like due diligence. Pass our bill or we'll blame Congress, or at least the Democratic majority in Congress, when the wheels fall off the wagon. I think that's just so well said.
Well, I think it should be very obvious to all of our listeners that this was planned ahead of time. They knew it was coming down the line. And that's why Henry Paulson gave up his $38 or $40 million a year job to get to the Treasury Department so he could protect the very people who created the problem. Why should we trust, you know, the chief cannibal, to give him money so that the members of his cannibal tribe won't devour the rest of us? I mean, you can't do it. It's like giving money to a wolf, you know, hoping that he won't eat you, and he's going to eat you one way or the other. And if we allow him to, and Henry Paulson is here, and he gave up this fabulous salary. Why? Because he's an idealist? Because he loves America? No. He was sent here by Wall Street to protect Wall Street so they can continue raping and pillaging the public, and we should not under any circumstances go along with a bailout for Wall Street. If we're going to hurt one way or the other, there's going to be real problems. But the only hope for America is to get back to a sound money system, and the president and Dick Cheney and the Wall Street banksters they represent do not want that. They want to control. They want a fascist system, and this is really what it's about, Joel. It's establishing a fascist financial system, a merging of corporations and government to the disservice of the average American.
Absolutely true. There is no painless way out of this. In fact, as I'll talk about later in the brief, this nation is effectively bankrupt, and there is no way out of it. There's not enough productive power to pay off these debts, and there's no reason why we should, frankly. These debts have been created for evil reasons and, outside of the rule of law, and it needs to go down. It needs to be purged from the system.
Very interesting. Apparently, there was a meeting of the United Nations in New York City this last week, and literally everybody there, all the foreign leaders got up and said the United States and the greed of the people and the financial system of the United States is destroying the financial system of the entire world. Every major speaker got up and criticized the United States, and all we heard was that Ahmadinejad, of Iran got up and said, oh, America's responsible for this, obviously he's crazy. They all said exactly the same thing, and yet they point to Ahmadinejad as if he's way out there. But financial leaders throughout the world are furious with America because we brought this tragedy on them, and they are going to lose just as much as the people of this, our country, are going to lose.
Well, one of the things to remember, that there is an urgency about this bill, and part of it's because people like Polson, they've been earning millions and millions of dollars in compensation as a head of as Goldman Sachs before he ascended to the Treasury. He's actually there protecting his assets, which are deeply invested in these scams, in this speculative economy that he's bailing out. So he's bailing out his own rear end as well. He's in there with all of his millions on these scams. He's in banks, I guarantee you. His money is in derivatives, and his money is in these high-flying type of things that he's bailing out, as well as all these other people. This is one thing when they say, oh, we've put all of our assets at arm's length, once we join the government, and we're no longer getting our salary. There's no, you know, this is one thing when there's a conflict of interest, because their money is what they are protecting right now as we speak. Now, Juan Gonzalez of Democracy Now! Was interviewing Robert Schumer, who said, you know, the issue also, this rush to pass this legislation, he says, I'm reminded somewhat of the Patriot Act of 9/11. An immense tragedy occurs if they try to rush through legislation without many of the members of Congress even having a handle as to what it really contains. And Scheer says it's absolutely outrageous. We can't let them get away with it. Considering that Paulson was the head of Goldman Sachs, okay, he knew about the credit swaps. He knew about hybrid instruments. He knew about all this stuff, and now he's the guy that says Congress has to give him a blank check. It has to be a pure bill. Nonsense. This is our money we were talking about. Well, you know, one of the most insidious manipulations of the public during this week's debate was the manner in which the congressional leaders cherry-picked those who would engage in negotiations toward brokering a quick agreement. They purposely excluded the high-ranking conservative Republican skeptics like Ron Paul, who's ranking House member on the Banking Committee, and Richard Shelby of the Senate Banking Committee. They sidelined those people. Instead, they chose Senator Chris Dodd and Representative Barney Frank, two of the most unprincipled members of Congress, among many others. And the press was awash on Thursday with news that an agreement in principle had been made, and there was no for strong obstacles. Yes, who will set the people who wanted to know? Senator Shelby immediately disputed this, and he should know better when there's this much pressure to cut a deal. The powers that be will get their way by hook or by crook. We saw the same thing with the push for telecom immunity. We saw the same thing about the Military Commissions Act. Boy, when the establishment really wants something done, the pressure is heavy, and they'll use every tactic in the book to get their way.
And, of course, they don't represent the people. They represent the elite who have an agenda, and they'll threaten and cajole and twist arms and bribe the members of Congress. I mean, they'll give fantastic amounts of money to a congressional district just to buy the congressman votes. That's dishonest, but nobody ever calls them on it.
You know, the Democrats are busy trying to insert all kinds of populist bailouts for the little guy in this bill. They're doing that for political purposes, like protection against foreclosure. But as if that would diminish the wrongness of the bailout. Well, it won't. You know, you don't balance an evil system that you're in power, that you're giving to the executive by throwing a few bones to the public. But that's typical of what the Democrats do. They and a host of their bought and sold Republican members of Congress gave the appearance of holding out for essential amendments. They were constantly bombarded by colleagues and media with the old adage, now, if we don't act now, something even worse will happen to the economy, and you will be responsible. Now, however disingenuous and specious is the argument, it is amazingly effective. You know, if I were to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to take responsibility for this just because I refuse to bail it out. This crash is coming down one way or the other, as you said. Either way, this bailout is not going to stop the rest of the problematic points in the economy from bailing, and it only sets a pattern for a bailout of everything and anything, and that simply will lead to hyperinflation. Treasury Secretary Paulson and Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke railroaded congressional leaders with a fear-mongering forecast that we are literally days away from a complete meltdown of our financial system. Yes, but whose fault is that? Paulson was one of them as the head of Goldman Sachs. So, you know, one of the issues, of course, is the fact that a lot of these bailed-out firms are getting these huge golden parachutes, some in the multiple millions of dollars after bankrupting their firms. Lehman Brothers had a salary of only $750,000 last year, but pulled in a total compensation of $34 million. CEO John Thain of the failed brokerage house of Merrill Lynch was one of the few failed managers who reduced his salary to a mere $60,000 a year, but still took home, quote, other compensation, totaling a modest $15 million. So the bottom line about congressional fine print to limit compensation is that it is illusory and will not work. As James Duran said, Wall Street chiefs will find a way around these restrictions because the pay deals are multi-layered and complex, and no matter what you put in the bill, they'll find a way to get compensation.
But you see, what they're doing is they're focusing our attention on the wrong issues. Oh, it's those executives who are making all the money. Yeah, they're corrupt. but it is the basic thesis that federal governments increase prosperity by simply printing more and more and more and more money. That's where the problem is. They're not going to discuss the policy.
And I approve this message.
This is Ray Schonke. I played football with the Washington Redskins. Now I'm president of the American Hunters and Shooters Association. It's important to me that our next president protects our Second Amendment rights to own guns and defend ourselves. Barack Obama and John McCain will both make sure we keep our guns. But what about keeping our jobs? Barack's got a real plan that invests in creating jobs here at home and cuts taxes $1,000 for working families. John McCain? I saw a lot of cheap shots in my day. But McCain's false attacks on Obama are just a fake to hide the ball. His plan sells out American workers. McCain will keep giving tax breaks to companies that ship our jobs overseas. And he'll look the other way while China breaks our trade deals. It's the same old Bush playbook. Look, when the coach loses 8 years in a row, you don't bring him back for a ninth season. We just can't afford more of the same. Paid for by Obama for America.
This is Ann Johnson. For 14 years, I've owned Brightside Natural Health. The prophecies of Revelation are being fulfilled at an amazing rate, and the kingdom of God is at hand. My passion is to follow God's command to heal the sick and share the reality of Jesus Christ. God faithfully shows me effective, life-changing products like Vital PSP. PSP helps the body heal itself the way God intended. God promises to be present in the midst of your storm. Stop the storm and enjoy God's abundant health. Call me at 303-833-2784.
Diets simply don't work. 90% of dieters lose a few pounds, but then gain them right back, every time. At Radiant Clinic, we look at the cause of disease rather than merely treating the symptoms. We optimize thyroid and adrenal function, balance brain chemistry and hormones, all of which can cause weight gain. Our medical weight loss program will actually reset your metabolism so the pounds stay off permanently. Call Radiant Clinic at 970-278-0900 and ask for your free guide to permanent weight loss or visit our website at RadiantClinicColorado.com.
I'm Barack Obama, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
This is Ray Schonke. I played football with the Washington Redskins. Now I'm president of the American Hunters and Shooters Association. It's important to me that our next president protects our Second Amendment rights to own guns and defend ourselves. Barack Obama and John McCain will both make sure we keep our guns. But what about keeping our jobs? Barack's got a real plan that invests in creating jobs here at home and cuts taxes $1,000 for working families. John McCain? I saw a lot of cheap shots in my day. But McCain's false attacks on Obama are just a fake to hide the ball. His plan sells out American workers. McCain will keep giving tax breaks to companies that ship our jobs overseas. And he'll look the other way while China breaks our trade deals. It's the same old Bush playbook. Look, when the coach loses 8 years in a row, you don't bring him back for a ninth season. We just can't afford more of the same. Paid for by Obama for America.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And, Joel, why don't you tell our listeners how they can learn more about your publication and perhaps subscribe as I do.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. The World Affairs Brief is showcased on my website, www.worldaffairsbrief.com. People can get a sample issue by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And lots of good things on the website. My research staff posts the top stories of each day. This has been a particularly difficult week because of so much commentary and fast-moving events as the manipulation has occurred in this bailout proposal. But we've tried to keep up. As you probably know, I know you go to the website each day to, take advantage of the fact that our researchers have culled through a lot of the stories and posted only the best on the website.
That's absolutely true, and it's just is a wonderful way to get a summary of what's going on in the world, because I know you and your staff are up, you know, very early in the morning. I get up at 6 o'clock, and by 6:30, I can usually get to your site, and it's already loaded with all sorts of fascinating articles. So let me encourage our listeners to go to World Affairs Brief, a wonderful source of information, and then, of course, there's the weekly publication, which, you know, Joel summarizes what's going on and always gives you a different slant, but a very accurate slant on, the affairs that are unfolding. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, these are very dangerous times we're living in. But we're going to have to either reestablish a free society with a solid and sound money, or we're going into a fascist society where freedom as we know it will simply be a remembrance of things past. Well, go ahead, Joel.
Well, there are negative effects of the bailout on the market even before it passes. Even though the markets are convinced that bailout is going to happen, investors are anything but sure it will solve the problem. The markets have been very erratic as sectors not slated for a bailout yet continue to fail, and markets surge and retract based not upon fundamentals but upon the day's expectation for more intervention. Gold was up and oil had a huge one-day jump this week, all on true expectations of a dollar decline. Then they retreated as investors reacted to the unreal world of the intervention. But ultimately, you know, the fundamentals will not be denied. Derivatives are still one of the big shoes yet to drop. They're a huge part of what remains of the speculative economy, which this bailout is aimed at restoring. It's like a big black hole, Dr. Stan, that dwarfs the real economy, where all these people have parked their money in speculative bids hidden from the public. And these people have accumulated these millions of dollars, is not invested in the slow 8% or 5-8% return on real live corporations. This money is put into the betting markets of currency speculation and derivatives and credit swaps and AIG and insurance type schemes, and these things are falling apart. So one of the interesting things, a lot of the populists are putting out the fact that why don't we just give the $700 billion to the American people rather than give it to the big boys. But there is a difference relative to inflation when you inject it directly into the economy through people spending into consumption. All it does is just put a huge pressure on prices to rise. And it's very inflationary rapidly. Now, the other, pouring into the black hole of the speculative economy, is not in the short term inflationary, it just is in the long term, because you see the money goes in to replace money that they parked in savings, the establishment powers to be, and you know it's more than what they use normally. It's basically replacing their nest eggs, and it still is going to stay in churn in the speculative economy. Most of all, only as it gets pulled out for consumption does it become speculative in terms of real goods and prices. This money injections are speculative in terms of investment vehicles within the speculative economy. And I hope I'm being clear that there are two real economies at work here. One that never sees the light of day, which is huge, just full of billions of dollars from people getting overcompensated for years and don't have any really good use of the money other than to continue to gamble and get high returns. And the reason that they're not satisfied with the low returns that you and I are subject to in the bank of 1.5% to 2% interest is because they know that they're manipulating the rate of inflation. They know that the real rate of inflation is over 10%, and they need to get higher rates of return. And that's why they're in the speculative economy. That's why they aren't willing to put their millions of dollars in the real economy to a great extent.
Inflation is the cruelest tax of all. In fact, I believe that during the recent appearance of Mr. Bernanke before the House Banking Committee, didn't Congressman Ron Paul ask him where this money is coming from, this $700 billion that they want to put out? And didn't he ask him if it was going to be highly inflationary, what they were doing? And what did Bernanke say?
Well, of course, he said that... when Ron Paul was working with Bernanke, unfortunately wasn't able to do a one-on-one debate point by point. Ron Paul would make his statement, and then Bernanke would give a response, and Ron Paul wasn't able to rebut him point by point, and like he should have. For example, on this funding issue, he said, let me see if I can find it, Ron Paul, of course, as you said, demanded to know how we're going to pay for this. He says, we certainly aren't going to tax the American people for this $700 billion. No one is proposing that. That only leaves deficit spending. And Ron Paul had plenty to say about the whole issue of fiat money that got us into this debacle in the first place, and that they're only considering just simply inventing the money. But it's going to be on the taxpayer account. It will be directly on the deficit And, you know, interesting, Bernanke started off in his response by saying, you know, I did all my research and for my doctorate, et cetera, on the Great Depression. And he agreed with Ron Paul that his criticisms about fixing prices were what caused the depression and inflating the money supply and then cutting it back too rapidly. And but the bigger issue, which was very important, is Ron Paul challenged Bernanke to say, where's the authority to do this? And Bernanke said to him, he said, when Congress authorized the Federal Reserve Act of 1916, says, when you authorized the Federal Reserve, you gave us the power. Now, Paul was not given the opportunity, but if he had, he no doubt would have said something like, I have read the Act, Mr. Bernanke, and it gives you no such authority. And even if it did, as you claim, then why are you and Mr. Paulson here before Congress asking us to authorize this bailout if you already have the authority? And I would have also demanded to know, and why have you and others inserted the demand that, quote, the decisions by the Secretary pursuant to the authority of this Act are non-reviewable and committed to agency discretion and may not be reviewed by any court of law or any administrative agency? If you're so sure of your authority, why are you afraid of a court review? Why are you afraid of oversight? And, of course, they would have turned around and said, we're not afraid of oversight. But, you know, you need to get down in a debate-style format, point by point, and said, answer the question, why have you inserted this language in here that you don't want a court review? And let people try to explain on television to the public why they don't want the courts or any oversight. Of course, they've come out and said, oh, yes, we'll accept oversight. But it's that kind of sleight-of-hand oversight that really isn't effective and has no authority.
I think that was the most frightening part of this legislation. I really hope that every one of our listeners understand they stipulated there'd be no legislative or judicial review of what they did. In other words, they're going to take the money, they can do whatever they want to with it, no matter how criminal their acts are.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
I'm Barack Obama, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
This is Ray Schonke. I played football with the Washington Redskins. Now I'm president of the American Hunters and Shooters Association. It's important to me that our next president protects our Second Amendment rights to own guns and defend ourselves. Barack Obama and John McCain will both make sure we keep our guns. But what about keeping our jobs? Barack's got a real plan that invests in creating jobs here at home and cuts taxes $1,000 for working families. John McCain? I saw a lot of cheap shots in my day. But McCain's false attacks on Obama are just a fake to hide the ball. His plan sells out American workers. McCain will keep giving tax breaks to companies that ship our jobs overseas. And he'll look the other way while China breaks our trade deals. It's the same old Bush playbook. Look. When the coach loses 8 years in a row, you don't bring him back for a ninth season. We just can't afford more of the same. Paid for by Obama for America.
I'm Barack Obama, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
This is Ray Schonke. I played football with the Washington Redskins. Now I'm president of the American Hunters and Shooters Association. It's important to me that our next president protects our Second Amendment rights to own guns and defend ourselves. Barack Obama and John McCain will both make sure we keep our guns. But what about keeping our jobs? Barack's got a real plan that invests in creating jobs here at home and cuts taxes $1,000 for working families. John McCain? I saw a lot of cheap shots in my day. But McCain's false attacks on Obama are just a fake to hide the ball. His plan sells out American workers. McCain will keep giving tax breaks to companies that ship our jobs overseas. And he'll look the other way while China breaks our trade deals. It's the same old Bush playbook. Look, when the coach loses 8 years in a row, you don't bring him back for a ninth season. We just can't afford more of the same. Paid for by Obama for America.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. Joel, you pick up the story.
Okay, well, let's see, as we're wrapping this up, we need to discuss the issue of whether or not the nation can actually go bankrupt, because that's what we're headed for, Indeed, they can, either through a collapse in international credit worthiness or hyperinflation when the financial powers that be try to print their way out of debt, as they did in the Weimar Republic. Historically, however, war and invasion always come upon countries before total economic collapse occurs. Be forewarned, that is what's coming, I'm predicting, in the next decade as Russia and China build to take down the bully of the world. And I think, you know, as I've said before, perhaps even on this show, that I believe that, in fact, that's why the powers that be are spending with abandon. They know that this war, which is going to be a nuclear attack on America, will, in fact, wipe out the economy and all of the debts included, and they'll have an excuse to take us into a new world order, start a new currency, and essentially wipe the slate clean. Statistician and economist John Williams had this to say about the real status of our nation's indebtedness. He said, the federal government is broke for all intents and purposes, and it has been for some time. If you look at the financial reports of the federal government, add in the unfunded liabilities of Social Security and Medicare, which are what a corporation would look at in terms of its retiree benefits, the shortfall is, as I last saw, around $63 to $70 trillion. In fact, if you look at the government statements that are preparing using generally accepted accounting principles, what you'll find is the average deficit over the last 6 years has been $4 trillion per year. That's trillion with a T, he says. And that's not counting anything that's happened in the last month or so. Add to that the $4 trillion per year that the government will have to come up with to fund the baby boomers when they retire on Social Security, and you're talking about more money than you can pay for each year with all, if you taxed 100% of everyone's income and all corporate profits, you would still have a deficit. You'd never be able to handle $8 trillion a year in what this country is building up. That's bankruptcy, Dr. Stan. It's beyond containment. That's why Williams says that the government effectively is bankrupt. And where this all comes to, it's... a lot of dollars sitting outside the United States are being held by foreign investors, and he says those dollars are eventually going to get dumped, and they already are. I mean, investors are trying to buy up portions of every part of the economy because they feel that's a better bet to buy a portion of the real American economy than sitting the money in the inflationary economy or speculative economy, which is collapsing.
Well, I agree with you, and I think that the outlook really is terrible. There is no way that people, the young people today are paying into Medicare are ever going to get their Medicare out. There's no way that people who are paying into Social Security are ever going to get their Social Security payments. The Medicare drug benefits it's unfunded, and there is no money to do this. And so they know that, and I think you're absolutely right. They're going to have a war to get rid of all the debt and then start in all over again. There is no way all of these things will be paid for, and the people, of course, will be robbed, and the rich will get richer. And I have nothing against people being wealthy, but these people who use the structure of government to gain wealth, and then precipitate wars to get, to impoverish the public and, use it as a diversion, that is unconscionable.
So I want to reiterate in summary of this major issue that this is not going to solve the problem. All this does is completely reverse any constitutional restriction to future bailouts, and there are going to be many more after this. There's no end to the number of people that will require a bailout once this starts, and they will already have the authority to do so. This is only limited to $700 trillion or billion at a time. As soon as they get this $700 billion worked on, they can go for another $700 billion. Congress claims they're going to dole this out piecemeal to them, but without any effective oversight, it's simply going to be forgotten in the next crisis that comes. But the precedent will have been set. That's the dangerous thing. Not $700 billion itself. It's the precedent of unlimited bailouts for anything and everyone. And believe me, everyone's going to want a bailout. Look at the automakers. Congress is set to pass $25 billion loan package to help companies meet new federal fuel efficiency standards. But wouldn't you know it, the automakers are balking at the fact that there are strings attached to this $25 billion. They want it open-ended, essentially. In other words, they want a bailout, too. so will everyone else in the future. That's why this avalanche won't stop till the nation hits rock bottom. And the race is on whether or not this is hits rock bottom before war comes or after. I'm not sure.
And
certainly, it's going to look bad.
Well, certainly, you know, the other countries of the world are saying, look, America has been forcing countries throughout the world. You know, if they get into financial problems, America said, let their banks go down. Let their economy collapse. You've got to stop government interference in the economy, get back to a free market system. And actually, it's been benefiting these countries. Their banks have gone down. The people of great wealth, you know, have had to give up their ill-gotten gains through the inflationary process. And they're asking, why won't America do what they've been telling us to do for such a long period of time? And it's a very, very good question to ask, and nobody's answering that question here. All we want to do is do exactly what the third world countries have been doing, printing money, printing money, printing money, creating money and credit out of nothing, and then, of course, wondering why we go from crisis to crisis. I think our advice is great. I just wish we'd take it ourselves.
Well, the last big story of this week is Ron Paul endorses Constitution Party candidate Chuck Baldwin for president. I'm so happy to hear this. I wish he had done it earlier at his major convention in Minneapolis, his Campaign for Liberty convention, where he could have given him a major speaking slot and where the press was there. This way, the press is not covering this to any great extent. And it was precipitated by Bob Barr, the Libertarian candidate, former CIA. I really don't trust Bob Barr. Essentially snubbing Ron Paul's attempts to get everyone together and vote for any of the third parties. Bob Barr felt he should have the endorsement or nobody, and so he pushed Ron Paul to endorse somebody, and Ron Paul finally did, picked Chuck Baldwin. And it's a great choice.
Amen.
You know, Chuck Baldwin has, well, we'll talk about that next time.
We're out of time. We'll talk to you again next week. God bless. Thanks for the
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, I stand back here at the American Freedom Network, and we certainly live in fascinating times. I do understand what's going on. Let me suggest my talk on the financial tsunami. We gave it several years ago, but it's as true today as it was then, and we were anticipating the devastating problems it faces today. You need to understand the terms. You need to understand the history of money. So the Financial Tsunami, the talk, available on DVD or video, and, of course, the syllabus goes with this, an important source of information in times like these. Then you need our two little pamphlets. One is called The History of Money. The other is called The Financial Meltdown, going into what's happening today and what motivated the people who are doing this. And, of course, one of the prime culprit is Alan Greenspan, who knew exactly what he was doing as he set out to destroy the American economy. Well, certainly we carry the books, The Creature from Jekyll Island. We just ordered 5 cases of it. The book, we can't keep it in stock because it's the best book out there, explains what's going on. We carry the book of The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton, and lastly, Fiat Money Inflation in France. And all of these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to begin making whatever preparations you still can for the difficult times that lie ahead. Many of our listeners to our programs have made those preparations, and at least they are not in the panic mode that so many people out there are as they look and realize that they're going to lose their home, their car, their job, everything. And believe me, this is an organized plan to impoverish the American people and enrich the wealthy. But it's really all about destroying our financial system so they can take us into a world government. You can't have a world government unless you have a global currency. And that's what they're really planning. A gold-backed global currency, which is privately issued by the very elite who rule the world. And that's what it's about. You can read of the articles in Foreign Affairs magazine, the theoretical journal of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is America's invisible government. If you've never first got our 4-tape set on the secret government, we recommend it, or we have a secret government special. The video.